Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin Herr in for Steve Jones, who will be joining us here momentarily in the Sunbury Motors Studio. It is Franchise Day. That's the day that everybody finally finds out if the franchise players are going to be signed or if there's going to be a whole list of other things to talk about in the next several days. And of course, we know Drew Brees got it done with a $100 million deal. Also getting things done today was Matt Forte. Forte among the franchise players that are no longer waiting for a deal. Forte got that done earlier here this afternoon, late this morning, and it was a very, very lucrative deal there. We'll give you more of the details on that, but agreed to a four-year contract hours before the deadline. We'll tell more again, talk more about that here in just a few minutes. But there are several players that still have not reached a deal on their franchise, and that's Ray Rice, one of them, the running back for the Ravens. He received about $7.742 million. That's about the same as Forte was offered, which he did not sign, and no team in the league is more pressed against the cap than, well, pretty much the Ravens are right now, but a deal is not expected to happen before the deadline today. If that changes, we'll let you know. And Wes Welker still about $6 million gap between in guaranteed money between what he wants and what the Patriots have offered. And that's probably a 50-50 situation where they get that deal done, although I honestly would be surprised if they don't come up with something for Wes Welker. I mean, keep that man happy and let him retire as a Patriot, however you need to do it. He has been a go-to guy for the Patriots for quite some time. Fred Davis of the Redskins, the tight end, one of the first players to sign his franchise tag, coming off a four-game suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy, unlikely to receive a multi-year deal for from the Redskins here in the offseason. And that's mainly because, well, he's on the border right now of being out for an entire season with one more mistake. Just a few of the things we'll be chatting about here on the Steve Jones Show, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their 64th annual July New Truck Sale. Choose from over 75 new F-150s with discounts up to $7,000. Sunbury Motors is loaded with Super Duty trucks. Pick from Super Cabs, Crew Cabs, Diesels, and Duallys. Save up to a whopping $10,000 on Super Duties during this July New Truck Sale. If an SUV is what you need, SMC has new 2012 Ford Escapes as low as $19,880 and 2013 Ford Explorer 4x4s from $29,970. The all-new, totally redesigned 2013 Ford Escapes are arriving daily, and Sunbury Motors has them starting at $22,680. Take $5,000 off a new 2012 Ford Edge, and they're on sale for just $25,915. Every new vehicle from Sunbury Motors comes with an extra set of tires, and 0% financing is available on many models, including 2012 F-150s for the first time this year. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Hurry before someone gets your truck.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. Here from the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, where we were not on Friday. Because we were out on location. We moved the Sunbury Motor Studio to Lift for Life, where $110,000 was raised.
That is amazing.
An amazing number. It's the it's a record for any Lift for Life in the country.
But I have the question that I think many of our listeners do, too. Who won?
Oh, the offense did.
Weren't they behind when we went off the air?
No, they were ahead.
Oh, they were ahead. Okay.
No. You know what happened? I know what you're talking about. When the freshmen went.
Right.
And the young gun group.
Right. There was a thumping in progress.
Right. The defense crushed the offense. Once we then got to the, quote, varsity, all right, the offense beat the defense, and they were ahead the entire time. And then they went tug of war three different times to close out, and the offense won all three of those.
Wow. They didn't do the mud pit in the on the Battle of the Network Stars style tug of war, did they?
No, may have missed that one.
That would have been entertaining, too.
Yes. 1-800-795-9565. We're powered by Lenape Solar, so go to lenapesolar.com.
Sorry, just thinking of something for the fans there as well. A little more entertainment for the fans.
All the seats were filled up along the side, and then a lot of the seats were taken in the end zone.
That is a great. That tells me, you know, that tells me that there is, despite what some people think of a lack of support for the football program, full of you know what, because that tells me that there's a lot of support.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there is. I mean, obviously, this is a tenuous time. You know, because a lot of topics are being brought up about the death penalty and things like that, dealing with all this. And, you know, I mean, what decisions are made are going to be made on a level that are far beyond us. I mean, you know, do I think it merits that? No.
No.
I don't.
That doesn't mean what happened wasn't terrible and tragic and stuff like that, but right. It's not football. It's not the football on the field, and that's what the NCAA right. normally worries about.
Right, and so that's what they look at.
Notice I said plus, normally worries about.
Plus, a lot of preemptive stuff has been taking place. The university has taken preemptive steps. From the very first, I mean, with the firing of Dr. Spanier, of Joe, and then how they've handled Tim Curley and Gary Schultz, you know, and then by commissioning the free report, there have been obviously preemptive steps by Penn State against personnel allegedly involved, and also recommendations made by the free report. About what to do in the future, recommendations that we talked about in Thursday's show. You know, I think the one thing that I am uncomfortable with is this notion, is a broad brush, and that tends to happen in these cases, a broad brush has painted the people of Central Pennsylvania and of this community in particular, as caring about one thing and one thing only. And that is almighty football. And that's just not the case. I mean, that's so far from the truth. Do people love football in our area? Absolutely. Do they love to tailgate on a Saturday? Absolutely. They like to go in and watch the team play and win? Absolutely. But people have everyday lives. The students on campus have everyday lives, and yet they get together and run the largest student-run philanthropy in the world, and that's THON. And they raised over $10 million this year. Coaches versus Cancer, there's a student group, and there's also a community group of Coaches versus Cancer. It's the fifth largest fundraising Coaches versus Cancer organization in the country. And they don't just do an event, they do several events during the course of the year that they have to plan, put together, and the community has to jump in and get involved. And they do. There's something for the hospital coming up this week. There's something for the Shaner Group coming up this week that is that they've done in the past for the Hole in the Wall game, Newman's group. the late Paul Newman and his group, and that they've done for many, many years, Toys for Tots. I mean, I have something coming. This is a smaller realm, but I have something else coming up on Saturday. It's the Kyle Russell Callahan Walk and Run. My good friend Eddie Russell, his grandson, lived all of 11 days. And this it coincided with the time that my son was in the Geisinger Medical Center for 3 weeks. And, you know, and Eddie still made it over to see my son. But his son lived all of 11 days, and it was extremely hard. So what they've done as a family is that they've come together and to they've come together and they've decided to have a fundraiser for to benefit scholarships at State College Area High School. And it's the Kyle Russell Callahan Scholarship, and that's how they're honoring him. Well, the community's coming together for that this week. You know, and I've talked before about this is one of the top engineering schools in the world. It's one of the top meteorology schools in the world. One out of every four meteorologists is a Penn State graduate. This is one of the top liberal arts schools in the world. Without question, one of the top agricultural schools in the world. And the work that they've done over the years with Ag Extension and how they've helped the family farm over the years. Well, next month we have coming up Ag Progress Days out at the Larson Research Farm at Rock Springs. Now, do they have great athletics here? Yes, obviously. Wrestling and what Cale Sanderson done is remarkable, and two straight national championships, and what Russ Rose has done with the national championships he's won, five of them in his career, including four in a row. You know, the positive nature of a Coquise Washington, of a Patrick Chambers, and what Bill O'Brien's done without coaching a game has been unbelievable, what he's meant to this university in the short period of time he's been here. But we just went through the Central Pennsylvania Festival of the Arts and the People's Choice Festival in Bowlesburg, where art was the focus of what was going on. And, you know, I coached Little League myself, Little League and or Babe Ruth baseball, for 14 years. Lousy at it, but still did it. And, you know, that's working with people in the area. It has nothing to do with the university. And there are fundraisers for Make-A-Wish, the amount of money put into Make-A-Wish around here, the Toys for Tots campaign, and things like that, that are all great things that people in the community get involved in and not just suddenly awaken themselves seven times a year on a Saturday. And to paint the entire community and the entire state in this broad brush of all they care about is King football, it's not true. People care about many, many things in their own lives and do many, many things to help out many others along the way. It's a wonderful and great community to be a part of. And there are a lot of really wonderful people that step forward to try and do things for people. And I found that to be uncomfortable, that all they care about is, and that's not true. It's not even remotely true. Now, you know, Special Olympics has been here 20, Special Olympics has been in existence 43 years, the Summer Games. The last 25 have been here. They need 2,000 volunteers to come out and help with the games every year. And they get 2,000 volunteers every year. Whether it's at the track or the Knights of Columbus in the swimming pool or at the swimming pool, you know, equestrian, whatever it happens to be. They all step up and volunteer, and some of the athletes do as well. But people have stepped up here and done a lot of really, really great things. And, you know, in terms of the focus on academics, well, yeah, you know, I've talked about engineering and meteorology and liberal arts and ag, but that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the majors around here where people have excelled. And now, of course, the law school building is there. And there's so many other things that go with it. And to say this has been a place that is focused on one thing and one thing only just is not correct. I mean, that part makes me very uncomfortable, because I know people living their everyday lives
have been able to make great contributions that have helped other people. And, you know, and Live for Life was another example of that. I mean, $110,000. And you know what? Any money that is given anywhere along the way, okay, is considered to me by a great contribution. A great contribution. I'm just using the Live for Life here as terms of what the level is to let you know about the generosity here. Because everybody's generous in other places. But number two is Boston College at $27,000. And by the way, that $27,000 is going to help out, because each school picks out the rare disease in uplifting athletes, and there are 15 of them now doing this. They pick out the rare disease that's their charity for Penn State's kidney cancer. But all these things that we talk about, right? Sure, they get lost in the wash, but there's too much of a general broad brush here about what people care and don't care about. And you can't do that to a community, in my opinion. Now, do the positive things get lost in the wash? Absolutely, the positive things get lost in the wash. But the generalization of what people care about, what they don't care about, is too broad a brush. Again, do people care? Do people enjoy Saturday and going out to Beaver Stadium on a Saturday in the fall and watching football? Obviously, they do by tens of thousands. They love the tailgating. They love the blue band. They love the game. But the other days of the week and the other days of the year, they have other things that they do. And there are other things that people do within this community itself. The people who volunteer at the hospital, the people that have their own jobs, their own lives, the people that volunteer for various youth programs in the area, that volunteer for Special Olympics, Coaches versus Cancer, Thon, they volunteer for Live for Life. I mean, on and on and on you go about the various things that people get involved with that have nothing to do with athletics. They may use athletics as a vehicle. I mean, for example, if you go into Beaver Stadium and you buy food from vendors outside of the normal concession areas. There's some vendors there in the bottom of the stadium on the asphalt bottom. I mean, those are all charities raising money for their specific, whatever it happens to be. Everything from the baseball team trying to raise money so they can make their southern trip to the Knights of Columbus raising money for their events. I mean, there's a variety of those. So sometimes it's too easy to paint with a broad brush because it sounds great and convenient and big to say. And
you know, I'm sorry, I was just thinking, but you know, the most of the people that I hear making comments like that, I would venture to say have barely stepped a foot in the region.
Oh, probably not. I mean, probably not, but it's...
But you know, this goes back to a point that you and I have made many times about many different topics, not just this one, but in general, about painting the broad brush. It's very difficult to sit there and be a quote-unquote expert or, you know, host a program or whatever and find stuff to talk about. But if you're going to talk about it, make sure you're familiar with exactly what you're saying and how you're saying it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Can we all make generalizations about Philadelphia is an example, largest city in the state, completely different culture from here. Sure, we could. But you know what? I've been to Philadelphia often enough. There's some beautiful areas of Philadelphia. And I've always been treated well in Philadelphia everywhere I've gone. Right? Everywhere I've gone. Well, I think the Penn campus is beautiful. I think up by the area along the river where the boathouses are, and so it's beautiful. Some parts of downtown I find intriguing. The theater district is great. Another thing, too, they have a lot of theater here. A lot of theater. We just went through the Central Pennsylvania Festival of the Arts and the People's Choice Festival in Bowlesburg. But there's a lot of theater here. They put on anywhere from 30 to 38 performances at the Performance of the Arts on campus. And they have a downtown theater as well. So you can't, So you can't just take a broad brush and go boom, and that, you know, that's all these people care about. That's just not true. And it's just, you know, now can you convince anybody of it? I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, that one I hear, and I bristle at it, because it's just not, that's not really the area. Do people in the area love football? Yes. Do people in the area love to go on a Saturday? Yes. Or watch on TV? Yes. Okay. What about the other 358 days in the year? Well, guess what? The other 358 days of the year, they do, you know, they live their lives, and there are a lot of caring, wonderful things that happen here that help a lot of other people. So generalizations are made, a lot of times done so for convenience. Okay, I understand. You know, they're trying to garner ratings as well. And are people here sickened and horrified? Darn right they are. It's always critical to protect children. Well, Natalie Dell happens to be a central Pennsylvania native, maybe a little bit further to the southwest of here, but she's going to be in the Olympics in, of all things, quad scull rowing. And because Kevin insists that we have an Olympian on a day, this is my shot today. He has to line up the other four this week.
Okay, done.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. For the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our phone line, which is open at 1-800-795-9565, is presented and powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. And now we get to one of Kevin's favorite topics, the Olympics. In quad sculls, Pennsylvania's own Natalie Dell. Natalie, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
This is... an amazing story. I believe what here at Penn State you ran track, right?
No, I only ran track in high school.
In high school.
And I considered running in college, but I decided not to.
What got you into rowing? Because I'm looking around here, I'm looking around, and outside of Spring Creek, I don't really get a lot of rowing inspiration here.
Yes, that is true. Rowing is not, Penn State is not really known for being an epicenter of rowing. I didn't know anything about rowing. When I went to Penn State, I arrived on campus as a non-athlete, and I was a burnt-out, injury-riddled track star from high school, and I lasted a semester, and I was just miserable. I really missed being involved with sports, you know, the Greek life didn't really speak to me, and the academic organizations, I couldn't really find anything that I liked. And somebody suggested to me, you should try club sports. They're competitive, and they have this great community feel about them. So my college roommate said, hey, I know somebody on the crew team. You should go check that out. And I went to the informational meeting, and I knew right away that I wanted to do it. And ever since then, I've been hooked. That was 9 years ago.
9 years ago. In fact, you were undefeated in 2006, right, before graduating 7, correct?
Yes, that's true. And it was a pretty big deal for us because we are a club team, and we compete against varsity programs. So to have gone undefeated our junior year in the women's four-person boat was a really big deal for us. And although I've experienced a lot of success in rowing, I have to say that those races that I raced at Penn State in that undefeated season, that was some of the best racing that I've ever had.
ended up going to Boston University and getting a master's degree. And when you're at Boston University, you're near the Charles River. Give us the, you were able to get hooked in with who up in Cambridge that allowed you to really get on this path to the Olympics?
So, well, the way it works is usually when you graduate from college, if you're a really good rower, you are recruited directly to the national team, and you train at the training centers in Princeton, mm-hmm. New Jersey. And all of my teammates that are on a national team right now, that's what they did. They graduated from college, and that next week they moved to the training center. Well, when I graduated from college, I may have rode in college, but my experience compared to people from Harvard and Yale and Princeton, whose programs are online with, say, Penn State's women's volleyball or basketball program, I mean, I was just at such a disadvantage. So I had a lot of work to do. And when I moved to Cambridge, I got hooked up with the Riverside Boat Club, which is a place where you can go and get kind of developed to be on the national team. And coming from the outside like that is pretty difficult. It's hard to break into the national team circuit if you haven't already gotten there straight out of college. So it took 3 years. It took 3 years to get to actually make the national team.
Amazing. Amazing along the way that you've been able to do that. You're in the back of the boat, which means that you get to finish first, right?
That's right. Well, they put the shortest person with the feistiest personality back there, because I'm the person who has to steer because we go backwards.
Right.
And when we go international, you know, the boat traffic can be very congested, and so you need somebody who's back there that can be loud and authoritative and tell China to get out of the way, right, and tell the Netherlands, just wait a second, we're going to get into the lane first.
Right.
So I'm holding it down back there in the back of the boat.
Hey, you're not that short. Come on. You're 5'9".
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You are 5'9". You are far from short, Natalie.
I am the shortest person on the team. I'm in a four-person boat. I'll be going to the Olympics in a four-person boat.
Right.
And two of the women in my boat are 6'2". So I'm 5'9", but I tell everybody that I'm 5'11". I am on the shorter end of things, and I have developed such a Napoleon complex that I just never even thought was possible.
Your Napoleon complex. At the age of 27, you have a Napoleon complex. Your background growing up in the Everett area, everyone is a product of their background and their environment. Give us an idea of what that has meant to your mental approach to life and also the mental approach to this sport.
Rowing is mostly an Ivy League sport. When you talk about rowing, you usually talk about prep schools and Ivy League schools and pedigrees and people whose parents rowed at the 84 Olympics, and my grandfather was on the Harvard team. Words like farm and central Pennsylvania and blue collar don't usually come up, and that's my background. I grew up on a small farm in Clearville, Pennsylvania, which is pretty much the middle of nowhere. I had a 45-minute drive to school in the mornings, which is typical of a lot of the kids that I went to school with.
Right.
I grew up in a very rural background. My dad was a state trooper. And, he farmed on the weekends, and I grew up doing chores. I grew up not being able to really sit around and watch the TV much because I had to go paint something or weld something. And, I do have a bit of a different background than a lot of my teammates do. And then to have gone on and rowed at a club program that had no funding and no resources, and I actually had to pay to be able to row, and I had to buy my own uniform, and we were completely student-run.
Wow.
I am very lucky for everything that I have earned now, because now I'm in a position where I don't really ever have to worry about anything when it comes to my rowing and finances and my coaches and my uniforms. I'm taken care of, and because of my background, I appreciate absolutely everything that I'm given, and it makes me want to work very hard for everything so that I can feel like I earn it.
You sure do. Give us an idea of the 4x20-minute workout.
So a 4x20-minute workout is one of the popular workouts we'll do throughout the day. We always wear heart rate monitors, and we'll go out in a boat or we'll go on the machines. They're called ergs. And we will sit down and we'll row for 20 minutes and we'll take about a 2-minute break, and then we'll go again, and then we'll go again, and then we'll go again. The biggest part about training for rowing is it's an endurance sport. It's a 7-minute long sprint. If you're in my boat, my race is about 6 minutes and hopefully 8 seconds long. It means that we have broken the world record, and it's a sprint. It's kind of like the mile. You are running a long distance, but you're sprinting the whole time. And because of that, we have to work out for long periods of time to be able to, like, build the base. So we do these long, kind of boring workouts, but thank goodness we all have iPods. I'm not really sure what I would do without my playlist.
Now, you're doing about, 20 strokes a minute, right?
Yes, that's the usual steady state rhythm is 20 strokes. But when we race, we'll go up to 40.
Right. Amazing. Have you thought yet of the feeling of being in London? Have you thought yet about being in an opening ceremony?
I've thought about it every day. Safe to say every hour that I'm awake, I think about it. I more so think about racing. As far as I'm concerned, the Olympics are just the world championships with a lot of distractions and a lot more free gear. and that's the way I'm going to approach it. But yes, I think about it all the time.
You've won a silver at the Worlds, you know, right?
Yes, that's true, yeah.
Silver at the Worlds. So, I mean, let's face it, you are considered to be, your boat is considered to be a contender for this whole thing.
Yes. Yes. We have our eye on the podium. That's for sure.
It's amazing. In all of this, can you believe that you're in this position right now? I mean, you think about, I think you used to fish with your dad, I think, and, you know, out of the Chesapeake Bay and things like that, and you grow up at a farm, and you have to take care of chores, and you have to weld and everything like that, and 45 minutes to school, and then you go to Penn State, and you said, I think I'll try this. And can you believe all of this right now?
No, I can't. I mean, if you look at it on paper, I'm not somebody who should have found myself in this position. But and this is what I like to tell when I talk to high school or college athletes. If you are willing to put in a lot of time and sacrifice, you can really be a force to be reckoned with. And when I look back at the amount of time it took me to get here and the amount of work that it took and the sacrifices in across all spectrums of my life, professionally and personally, it does make sense, and I can believe it. But I did not think that I was going to make the team until the instant that my coach told me. And even then, I was still prepared to keep on racing. I thought this can't possibly be it.
Now, away from all this, you do a lot of health research for veterans, don't you?
I do. I still manage to work. I work for the Department of Veterans Affairs, and I work on mental health research programs.
Well, I want to tell you that if you didn't think before that you had a lot of fans of Quad Skulls in this area, I think you may have to rethink that, because I think you've just won over a lot of people that are going to be really rooting for you, including the individuals in this room right now. We hope that you not only get on the podium, but you come back with something that is special in gold, because you deserve it, even though you're so short.
Oh, thank you. And I know that rowing is just, it's really not a popular sport. Not a lot of people know about it. But I think for Central Pennsylvania hardworking people, it's a working person's sport because that's all you do. You sit down and you work very, very hard in that boat every single day.
I think what
hopefully I can bring that Central Pennsylvania strength to the starting line at the Olympics.
I think what you'll find is that when it's the Olympic Games and you're wearing gear that says United States of America on it, USA, you'll find out that rowing becomes very popular when you're on that stand. So
good.
We appreciate the time you gave us, especially on this particular day. And safe trip to London. And you have a legion of fans now rooting for you. All our best to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Natalie Dell joining us today on the Steve Jones Show. Kevin, that's the theme that you have been talking about since you have talked about the Olympics so often and what you enjoy about the Olympics. She embodies all of that.
Oh, there's no question. And you know, you can hear it in her voice. She's like, well, you know, not that many people are interested. And, you know, it's like you said, you'd be surprised how many people are going to be interested in a U.S. Olympic rowing team member that maybe would not have known about her before. But now all of a sudden she's going to have friends all over the place on Facebook just because she's an Olympic athlete. And she has that, you know, drive. She's always, it was a goal that she set and it's taken years to attain that. And now she's got her one shot. And you can tell in her voice that she wants to be on that podium really bad, but is very, very happy just to have accomplished what she has to this point.
Well, no question. And what struck me, whenever we do interviews, you know, you try to do some research. I mean, you know, that way you can ask the right questions.
She was amazed by some of the things you knew.
Well, no, but I think she was touched by it.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
In other words, I think the fact that somebody knew something about her, she's so humble. What? I mean, she's so humble about it that she giggled when, oh, you knew my dad and I fished, you know, like things like that. I mean, it showed me something about her, you know, not about our research. That's our job. We're supposed to do that. But it just struck me about how humble she is.
Well, that she sees her sport as a small sport that no one really pays a whole lot of attention to unless you're in the circle. And that's what the Olympics brings out, is it brings out the opportunity to see these sports that you don't get to see all the time.
And not only that, but her, say she were to get a gold medal in quad sculls, or medal of any sort, gold, silver, or bronze. Her medal counts just as much toward the United States medal total as the United States basketball teams does. Same number, one. And I think she's just a marvelous example of when we talk about, quote, the Olympic spirit. That was a pretty good example of it there. I was really just impressed and in a lot of ways taken aback by the humility. So we'll come back with more Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. And you can always go to purdyinsurance.com as they always sponsor the Monday Kevin Herr get-together.
It's my show now?
Yeah.
Wow, this is great.
So what do you want to talk about, sport?
I don't know. Why don't you take it for a while? It's my show. I can do whatever I want, right?
So it's me again. All right.
No, I love talking the Olympics. We could do that for the next two. Oh wait, we probably will for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
5,000 exactly. Hours of coverage. It's almost double what NBC did in Beijing.
Well, I think because of the combination of networks, they'll be able to do it between MSNBC, CNBC. Bravo, NBC Sports Network, which used to be
Versus,
and of course over the air NBC.
Yeah, they'll have a lot of...
Well, and a lot of the coverage, too, is going to be available live off of the NBC Olympics website, too. So they're going to be streaming. They're carrying... The thought is to carry every event live via the streaming apps. And right. also the... And I downloaded my iPhone app today. So I'm good to go for streaming in 2 weeks.
Right.
Have you downloaded yours yet?
I have never downloaded an app in my life, I don't think.
Yeah, 5,535 hours of coverage across NBC, NBC Sports Network, MSNBC, CNBC, Bravo, Telemundo, NBCOlympics.com, and two specialty channels. Not to mention, if you have a 3D TV, they will have a 3D platform as well.
Wow.
Can you imagine? That would look cool, though. The diving in 3D would be cool.
Oh, I'm sure it would be. I'm sure it would be. I think it would be incredible to see that in 3D. No, I don't think I've ever watched anything in 3D before. Have you?
Yes. Yes, it was a demo football game. It was a USC game from several years ago, and I did watch that in 3D in one of the stores. I never saw a live event, but football in 3D is pretty impressive.
Is it really?
It's impressive.
Because I love HD. Man, I love HD.
Oh, yeah. You can't beat it. You can actually see the safeties cheat up.
I mean, you see the puck. Let's start with that. To me, that is the litmus test of television. It's true. You can see the puck
without the little Fox glowing thing,
right? Then you're in good shape. You're in good shape.
Now the real test though, Steve, is can you watch Olympic table tennis and see the ball on an HD TV? Now that'll be the real test.
Oh, I'm sure you can. Oh, I'm sure you can. But, I mean, 3D, okay. But I'm just really happy with HD. Love HD. I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, there are two. I'm sorry. There
it'll be the first time I've watched the Olympics in HD, too, and I think it's going to be great.
Now, I saw the Winter Games and... I don't think it was last summer, but I saw the Winter Games in HD. But I was talking about some of the apps. There's one focused on live streaming and one on short-form highlights, schedules, and just a variety of different things. And I want to share this with iPhone users especially. Now, Android has them available, too, I understand, in the market. But the two apps are Live Extra from NBC Olympic coverage. And if you type in NBC Olympics, you'll get the other app as well.
It's amazing. The technology I find to be amazing. It blows you away.
Every event, every sport will be available with the live streaming on the web and on your phone or tablet or computer. You could actually watch all the sports. That's amazing to me right there.
It is. I find the entire thing amazing. I really do. I'd sit there and just at times... That you can watch an event on the phone. I thought it was neat where you can get the internet on the phone. Now, again, my phone's a phone. But that doesn't mean I don't look over. I know, I have a dumb phone for a dumb guy. So
I didn't say that. I just said the phone was dumb.
That's okay. I'm not far behind the phone.